Shalom, shalom, everyone. Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina from the Yehuda Project. And I'd like to say hello to everyone. It is good to have everyone on the line again for one more week of talks and talking about relationships and what's going on between us and our nation. And I just wanted to take a moment and play a song so that I can, so my co-host can come online and get everyone together so we can have prayer and we can do a scripture reading and we can begin the show. All righty, I'm going to play this song for you guys. I hope you like it. Shalom.
I'm my most intimate friend. When I found you, I felt what every heart dreams of. When I found you, I found love. When I found you, I found the rest of my life. When I found you, I told all others goodbye. When I found you, I saw my fear fly away like a dove. When I found you, I found the love. My faith in your arms. When I found you, I found no cause for alarm. When I found you, I knew this love was a gift from above. When I found you, I found love again.
Shalom, everyone. I hope that you like the song that I chose for this week. It was by B.B. Whining, and it's called I Found Love. I'm going to get my co-host on the line right now so that she'll be able to. We're going to do a scripture reading, and she's going to lead us in prayer. Shalom, shalom, Sister Shkabah.
Shalom, shalom. How are you, beautiful?
Oh, wonderful. And you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed to the Most High. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, wonderful. I don't think Sister Dee Dee is calling yet, but we're going to go ahead and get started. If you could go ahead and give us a scripture reading, and we're going to lead us off in prayer, we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay. Today I'm gonna just read three verses from Psalm 139. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And it reads as thus, O Yahweh, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come together as a nation, as a people, seeking you to unify us and to bring together a people that have been scattered, that have been broken, that have been battered by slavery, by the taskmasters, and by things in life that we have gone through as a nation. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, that you would open the hearts and the minds of all of those that are listening and those that will call in. Oh, Father, we ask you now that you will help us to hear with the ears of our heart and to overstand from our spirit that which is being spoken so that we can receive it and come to a solution to be able to come together, not according to us, but what is divinely done and in your time frame and ordained of you. So I thank you now for this opportunity. In the name of Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Sister Kavav, you would like to introduce yourself and tell all of our listening audience where, what city and state you are calling from.
Yes, shalom, everybody. My name is Kava Aminta Yasharala, and I am calling from Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm so honored and so happy to be here on today with my sister, Sister Yaina.
Wonderful. And for all of the listening audience, my name is Yaina, Yisrael. I am out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And I just wanted to let everyone know that the switchboard has lit up. We have right now, we have about 7 callers on, and they're still calling in, and the board is lighting up. So I just wanted to lay some ground rules for this evening. This is a show about relationships. We talk about anything pertaining to relationships, whether it's husband, wife, whether you're dating, whether it's children, anything that deals with relationship and family, because we have to build the relationship back first before we can do anything with anyone else. We also would like to let everybody know that we don't do any bashing on this show. We don't have any profane language on the show. And I just wanted to give everyone an opportunity. We want everyone to have an opportunity to speak. So we would ask you to limit your comments to at least a minute and a half, no longer than a minute and a half, because some people are long-winded, and we want to hear from everyone. So I think what we're going to do is we're waiting for some of the brothers to call on, because we got about 3 or 4 brothers that are calling. Brother Nasi Kamul is calling in from Brooklyn, New York, and Brother Abraham will be calling in from Virginia, from the state of Virginia, and we're going to put a panel together today where we're going to have Sister Kava and myself and those two brothers, and also Adonaiya. I always pronounce his name wrong, but he's calling in also from, I think he's from Atlanta, Georgia as well. So anyone that wants to make a comment or want to introduce yourself and tell us what state you're calling from, please push #1. Once you push 1, I'll see you in the queue, and then we'll open up the lines, and we'll just introduce ourselves if you want. If you don't want to do anything, you can just listen. Right now, like I said, we're still waiting on the brethren to call in and to give us some insight. So, Kava, do you have anything you want to talk about today?
What's interesting is I actually went to Barnes & Noble today, and I saw a book on marriage, and the book talked about, the title of the book is Marriage for White People, but the author that wrote it was a black author. So, but it was some things in the book that she was saying, and one thing she was talking about is that 7 out of every 10 black women are single or never been married, and and 3 out of those 10 will never be married. So I want us to just kind of touch on those bases of you know, we know why this is come about because of the curses, but with the understanding that now we are waking up, and since we are waking up, as Sister Yaina often says, that the curse is being reversed, can we overcome this statistic as Black women or as, you know, a scattered nation? So I want us to maybe bring that out.
Okay, great, great. I think that would be a good thing. I also got a phone call from a couple of sisters that are going to be on the show, and I just want to talk about relationships, period. I want to know why we have so many single Black women and why the Black men are going to the women in the other nations to marry. I mean, we want to know what's wrong with us to the point where they are more attracted to the women of the other nations, and why is it that we're having such a hard time connecting? Because we need to start teaching our young women, if it's something that we can teach them, then we need to start teaching them what not to do so that you don't run them away. So we still waiting on the brothers to come on. They kind of slow today, but they're going to get here, because I did talk to Nasi Kamul earlier, and I talked to Brother Abraham, and I talked to the brother from Atlanta. So I'm kind of waiting till everybody comes on. But if anybody wants to introduce themselves, we have the area code 678. We have area code 352. We have area code 513. We have 111. We have area code 614. We have another 513, another 513, and another 513. So we do have quite a few people on the line. Right now there's a total of 8 people calling, and we can hold up to 50 calls. So we want to encourage you, if you have people that are in relationships that have issues, to call into the show. You don't have to say your name. You can just say, I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, or I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio, or I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois. We don't need to know your name. We just want to know the issue. So I have 614 on the line. We're going to get her on the line. Go ahead, area code 614, you're on the line.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Auntie is your niece. This is Felicia calling from Columbus, Ohio. And
wow,
that is funny, that book that she's talking about, I just got that from the library the other day. And it's by, it's a Black author. His name is Ralph Richard Banks. I haven't started reading the book yet, but it was right soon as I walked in the library. I was like, let me get this. So it's funny that she brought that up today, because I just got that book from the library yesterday.
Wow. Wow. That's something. That's crucial. So Kavai, have you started reading it yet?
Well, what I did is, you know how you can go into Barnes & Noble's and you can kind of, you know, relax and read a book, you know. So I just kind of just skimmed through the book, and I just pulled out certain little things that I saw that was really interesting, that was in the book. And that was one of the things talking about, it used the statistics of seven out of 10 Black women are single.
Yes.
And three out of the 10 would never be married.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also dealt with the issue of how a lot of Black women, most of them, when they have they've been educated and come out of college with their college degrees, that a lot of times, because what has been going on with the Black man, that a lot of times the Black man, he doesn't actually have as much education or the financial, he doesn't match her economically
mm-hmm.
when it comes to finances and the workplace and everything, because of her education and the position she's in financially. Then it also began to talk about how it gave an example of this young lady who was a beautiful young lady. She had these degrees. She had a good position. And she's almost 40 years old and never been married. And she's now with the mindset of saying that she basically believed that she'll probably never get married. And it was kind of, you know, disturbing to her, because she couldn't understand, I'm a perfect catch. I'm beautiful. You know, according to her and them, they said she's sweet, this, that, and the other. She has an education. She has a good-paying job, yada, yada, yada.
but this woman can't seem to get a husband. So, and she's almost 40 and never been married. So they were talking about how, you know, how we as black women are nowadays and with the education and just how the black man is actually at another level, which is a level which is not where where the black woman is today, as far as educationally, economically, and socially, you know, in these different areas. So I just skimmed through it, but I'm going to go back and buy that book. I didn't buy it, but I'm going to go back and buy it.
Or you can get it on, if you have a Nook, you can download it.
Oh, okay. I don't have one yet, but I will get one.
Yeah, if you have a Nook, you can download it. I'm on Barnes & Noble's website. It's actually cheaper to download it on Nook than it is to actually buy the physical book.
Okay.
Well, let me pose this question to you guys. Do you think that there is a reason why black women are alone? I mean, is it something that is it our fault? I mean, because when we become educated, you're right. Most of the black men who are out there that are available, most of them don't have educations and college educations, but it doesn't mean that they're not good brothers. So do you think that it's something that we're doing wrong, or what do you think it is that's causing us to be in a situation where we are alone like that?
I believe, this is Felicia calling from Columbus, Ohio. I believe that it's not our fault. Being someone who just got married 2 years ago, and I'm 36. So I got married when I was 34 years old. I met my husband when I was 32. Before I met my husband, I thought I was going to be single for the rest of my life. Here I am with a computer science degree, a math degree, working at a good job. It just seemed like, you know, the brothers that I would meet, they would be very intimidated. They're like, oh, you know, I don't want, or they didn't want to date me because I make more money than them. And for me, it was like, well, why does it matter if I make more money than you? I'm still a woman and I still know my role. If you're my man or you're my husband, I know my role as a woman. I know I'm supposed to be submissive. So I think a lot of them, because even right now, to be honest with you, I'm dealing with that in my own household. My husband has an issue with me, the fact that I make more money than him. Well, and like I told my husband, I said, babe, I went to school. I have 2 degrees. You didn't go to college. So how do you expect to make more money than me when we're on 2 different levels? Now, what I What we are doing is that my husband is now going to school. He starts school actually next month. But, you know, I was ahead of him, you know, and I'm in a higher paying, you know, level. And, I mean, we do have that issue. We have that issue even now. So, you know, it's something that we're working through with, and that's something that my husband is learning to adapt with. But like I told him, I said, even when you get your degree, you're still not going to make as much money as I'm making.
Okay, now
because I've already been in the field. I graduated in 2005. You're not going to be able to catch up with me.
Well, let me say this. Can I add something to what the sister is saying, Sister Felicia?
Okay, hold on, Sister Kavai, hold on one moment. Let me make this announcement, because we have quite a few callers on. We have the brothers online now, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the brothers a chance to say who they are, and our panel is almost complete. I thought I seen Nasi Kamul on the line. I guess he has to call back in. But I do see a 757 area code, and then I'm going to make the announcement. And, again, if you want to comment or you have something to say, just push number 1 and keep your comments brief to a minute and a half. So and it doesn't have to stay on topic, because this is a relationship radio show that deals with anything you're dealing with in your relationship. So let me introduce the brothers, and then, Kavai, I'm going to let you respond. So hold on one moment, please. 757, you're on the air.
Oh, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
This is Abraham. How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Brother Abraham, would you tell them where you're calling from?
Calling from Hampton, Virginia.
All right, so we got one of our panelists on the line to the listening audience, and we are going to also let Sister Kava answer, respond to what Felicia had to say.
Okay, you want me to go now, sis?
Yes, ma'am, if you don't mind.
Okay. No, I don't mind. One thing I wanted to say, going back to what Sister Felicia was mentioning, concerning the difference in pay between the male and female, her and her husband. One thing we as women, we have to understand, and we have to overstand this, is that it is instinctively in a man to provide for his family. That was given to him by the Most High. That is part of his role, is to be the main provider. And a lot of times what has happened to us in this society, in this captivity, everything has been flip-flop concerning our nation and concerning the role of our men. And it was purposely done to cause our men to be on the bottom and to cause us to rule over them. And that ruling doesn't necessarily mean it's being the head of the household, but even in the financial area, if a man feels like he can't provide for his family, he doesn't feel like he's ruling. So my response to what Sister Felicia was saying, where she had mentioned, she told her husband, well, you got to remember that even though you're starting school now, even you're not going to be able to catch up to where I'm at financially. Well, I have to say something a little differently concerning that, because as a wife and as a helpmeet, your job is to help your husband to accomplish whatever it is he needs to accomplish to feel like he has achieved what he needs to achieve. So what that means is, sis, if that means that you have to help your husband even get a business going so that his money can come up and match where you're at, then that's what needs to happen so that this man can feel like I am providing for my family. So me as a woman, and as looking through the eyes of how I was a wife, I always had something in the realm of making money to bring extra monies in to help my husband, because my goal was I wanted to bring my husband off his job because I wanted us to run a business together. So my whole goal was, look, first of all, this system is jacked up. They want us to be in this rat race, constantly on this little wheel, going, working for the white man, making him rich, and we're still on the bottom. So my solution is, let's come together. I'm going to help you. Let's get a business so that we can make money together, and you can be the boss of this business plus the boss at home. So, you know, we have to look at things like that and remember the aspect or the mindset of our men. It's instinctively in them to provide for us. So whatever I got to do to make you feel like you the provider, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. Okay, honey, let me help you make this money over here. What we got to do to pool our resources, because I want you to make more than me. If that helps you feel like you are doing what you need to do, then I'm all for it. I don't have no problem with it. Let me help you get it. So we have to have that mindset. So I'm sorry. I'm done.
That's okay. We got a lot of people with their hands up. Let me go here, and I'm going to let Brother Abraham respond to that since he is the man on the panel. But let me get these people on, and I'm going to go to this first one, Area 111. You want to get a quick comment? You get a quick comment. I'll put you on the mic. Your mic is open. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was coming up as 111. This is Sister Ariel, yeah. Okay.
Oh, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Let me just say quickly, it is our fault, and the reason why I say that is because we don't allow the men to be the hunters. We get on a social media, and, you know, we travel different places, you know, to meet men. We use Facebook, you know, as a hookup site. And, you know, we pretend like we don't know that we're not supposed to be, you know, compromising our morals. We look at, you know, we allow these men to tell us, you know, that okay, well, now that we're together and, you know, we're now betrothed, you know, we can sleep together. You know, we just believe all of this new game that a lot of these Hebrew men are kicking out, and that's one of the reasons why we're not together. We allow them to take advantage of us. We enable our men. We are part of our men's problem.
Okay.
And we also emasculate them, you know, by reiterating the fact that we might make more money than them, you know, and things like that. So, I mean, those kind of things shouldn't even come out of our mouth. We should constantly reaffirm our men. And the bottom line is, you know, a black man may not ever make as much as a black woman. I make a lot of money. I might not ever meet someone that makes as much as I am. So, do I have to help him build a business? No. What I have to do is build that man up spiritually and know that even if I do make more than him, he's still the head. I don't care if he makes $3 an hour, you know, and I make $50 an hour. He's still the head because it goes back to the spiritual order of things, and that is the way that the Most High designed it, regardless, you know, as to who makes the most money. Because we already know that there's an attack on the black man, so the black woman needs to recognize that everything is by design. So, you know, are all men going to be able to open, black men going to be able to open up their own businesses? No. But can all black women empower their men, you know, to be the head? Absolutely. It's a role that has been given by the Most High that has nothing to do with the paper dollar.
Okay, Sister Ariel, y'all, can you let everybody know where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta.
Okay, we got Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to give somebody else real quick because we got to get Brother Abraham on here because I know he is waiting to say something. Just hold on, Brother Abraham. I'm coming. Area code 513, go ahead. You on the air. You got 1 minute. You're on the air.
Well,
go ahead.
I just got on the line, and I really didn't get the gist of what everyone is talking about. However, and I'm Linda. However, I am married. I am an entrepreneur. I've ran my own business. And the thing of it is that the order is the husband to the wife to the children. And we need to stay focused on that. And that's really just pretty much all I got to say. You know, we have a lot of things that are coming at us as far as destroying the black family. But that's been historical, and it's been going on for quite some time. The thing of it is what is our plan? We all know what the problem is. We know what the problem is, but what is the solution? And that's really what I want to hear. What plan are we going to come up with to attack the arrows that's constantly coming at the black family? What is our plan? I mean, we all know what the problem is, and we can articulate it very well. However, what is the plan?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold. And she want to know what is the plan. Brother Abraham, I hope you're writing this down, because right now I'm going to see if we got some other brothers on the line. I'm going to put you back on hold, 513. Okay, area code 646, you're on the air. Go ahead, you're on the air. Area code 646.
First and foremost, I can give honor and praise to the Holy One of Israel, thanking him for life to save, for the opportunity to be in such a discussion that is beneficial to us as a people and as a nation. I'd like to apologize for my improperness in being here this day. I had some matters of importance that I had to deal with. I was scheduled to be here earlier, but Please forgive me for not being here in a more timely fashion. I just want to say this is Nazi Kamu.
Hello, brother.
I'm just also coming online. I heard the last three sisters speak, and I think that all three of them said something very important in the scope of our discussion. I think the final speaker, the sister who last spoke, is where my mindset is generated or is coming from. We have to find a solution to our problems. We have to strategize. We have to ask those who are more structured in the divine order of marriage, knowing the roles of both couple, man and female, and we have to sit down and have lessons and teachings on the structures that are harmoniously in place and righteously in place to help build up in the conscious minds of our people how we divinely structure our marriage. And that's why in my last discussions with the family, I recommended that we begin to gather ourselves together and have conferences to discuss these matters where we can hear and understand things from our sister's perspective, both in the positive and in the negative. And we need to also have our sisters hear our brothers from the, also from the positive to the negative. But ultimately, knowing that our goal is for healing and for restructuring our nation and our familyhood in a proper manner, divinely ordered and ordained by the Creator. And we have to look back to the holy writings to for guidance as well. It's good that we speak from our experiences and divinely understand that from the things that the Creator has revealed to us on an individual level. But we know scripturally we always have to have that as our foundation and our base. But I thank you for the opportunity, and I don't want to take up too much time, being that I was late. But
Brother
I do want
Kamul,
to.
Can you tell everybody where you're calling from?
I'm residing in, I'm calling from New York City.
Okay.
Particularly in Brooklyn, New York. And
Brooklyn, New York. Okay, well, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold for a moment, and then I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to let Brother Abraham talk next. And then we have a lot of callers on here. We have 646-614-513-678-352-513-111. So, everyone, if you want to say something, please push 1, and we'll get you on. Brother Abraham, you can go ahead now.
Shalom, shalom. First, giving all honor and praises to the Holy One of Israel. Wanted to, it was a lot of stuff that just spoke, so I want to focus on the last speaker. Shalom, shalom, Nasi Kamu, always good to hear your voice, beloved. We have to focus on solutions. I think we have a lot of issues that there's no one right answer, and everybody's family is their own individual personal choices that are going to be involved in how they manage their household. There'll be some with the woman makes more money and some with the man making more money, but the bottom line is that it's a family. It shouldn't really be about who makes the most money. It should be about everyone working together for the whole. That the money, even if, let's just give a hypothetical. Let's say that man makes more money, but the woman is a better budgeter. So the man puts all the money in the account and the woman pays the bills. That's one scenario. Another scenario is that the woman, you know, makes more money and she's a better budgeter, but she brings it to her each and they discuss it and they move forward, still giving him the opportunity to be in his rightful role. So it's so many different ways that it can happen, but I don't really think that's the issue. I think the issue that I think the first came up was in reference to our women being alone and our families being at risk. I think those are really the two issues because we can address both of those things by taking an approach that takes us towards being a nation of people. We build families that build communities that build a nation. And the more we work together as a whole, even the sisters that are not married or the brothers that are not married, our focus is turned away from our individual situation and focused on us as a whole. Then the sisters will find more eligible men. The brothers will find more eligible women because we're looking at a pool of people that have a common culture and common customs and are moving in a singular direction towards the fulfillment of a divine plan that Yah has for us, because he has called us to be a nation of people. And we've been taught to be individuals. We've been taught to get on the rat, you know, the little treadmill and be in the rat race and, you know, compare ourselves based on the size of our paycheck, the late model vehicle we drive, if we got a two-car, three-car, four-car garage. I mean, we've fallen into a trap that causes us to compare the wrong things and to consider the wrong things. So, you know, I think our focus should be on solutions. And if we work towards solutions, sure, problems are going to come up. But always better to feel like there's a sense of accomplishment because we're making forward progress instead of looking towards whatever's wrong. So that's my little, you know, blurb. And I mean, I want to honor everyone else's opinion and input. But I have a lot to say on that subject, but I want to give the moderator a chance to get other input.
Okay, we thank you for that. And your mic is open, and Nasi Kamul, your mic is also still open, and we're going to bring another perspective in, and we want to deal with the solution, but we can't find the solution until we find the problem. So everybody that's dealing in relationship issues, and you have something to say or you want to bring a comment to the table, just press number one and we'll get you on. Area code 513, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello?
Shalom to everybody that's on here. First and foremost, I'm going to give all praises to the Most High Yah for allowing me to be a part of this conversation and hear all the beautiful comments and testimonies. Shalom. First of all, my name is Azariah. I'm here in Cincinnati. I really like everything that everyone has said. I would have to agree with the brothers and sisters that we should focus on solutions most of all for our problems. I don't really think that the differences in, you know, salary and our economical status is really our problems, even though it is in a sense, but we should focus on the solutions that work. My main solution that I would say would be that it's the law mainly. A lot of times when we have problems in our marriages, our relationships, it's because we're not putting the Most High first. And if we remember Proverbs 3:5, which tells us to trust in Yah with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, that can eliminate a majority of our issues and our differences in our marriages and our even just our dealings with one another. You know what I'm saying? But that's mainly what I want to leave everybody with is to put Yah first in everything that we do and that can, you know, eradicate most of our issues and our problems.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and I have a comment that I want to make because you guys being too nice, and I know everybody wants to be as politically correct as possible, but I get phone calls all week from women that are talking about men, Hebrew men, and how they are, and I'm just going to quote, unquote, jacked up. I mean, for real, they call, they're frustrated, they're angry, they're hurt, they're coming out of Christianity or they're coming out of different religions and they're coming over here with stretched out arms opened up, and there's so many things being done. Manipulation is being done, trickery is being done. They're using the word to hurt these women. I mean, you know, when we talk about, and it's just not the Hebrew men that are conscious, we're talking about unconscious men. And I'm weighing on the side of men right now because we're going to get on us because we know we got some issues too. But there is some serious stuff jumping off in our nation as a people when we are continuing the abuse, and I would call it abuse, continuing the abuse. I mean, the verbal abuse, the mental abuse. Anytime you use the word to manipulate somebody, that's mental abuse. The physical abuse, the psychological abuse. And most of the time, you know, all of us want a man that's going to be the head of the household. All of us do. But it's like, can I trust you to be an honorable brother and be able to carry our family or date me in an honorable way? I remember one girl told me she met a Hebrew guy, and he didn't even want to date her. He didn't want to do nothing romantic. He didn't want to do nothing. He just felt like, you know, we don't have to go through all that. That's pagan. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously, we got to deal with some upfront issues because everybody's being too nice right now, and we just need to bring it out and lay it out on the table. It is what it is. Anybody have
any
comment
on that? Can you hear me, Sister
Yahina? Yes, ma'am, I can. Your mic is open.
Oh, I didn't know that. I kept pressing one. Okay, so I'm going to tell my story then. All right, so earlier in my walk, I still say I'm fairly new, you know, to this walk coming out of Christianity. I became reacquainted with a man that I met over 20 years ago. So we began to quote unquote court, and to me, like the you know, some of the first conversations like were about sex, and I was like, no, that's out of order. You sound like so many of the other nasty Hebrew men that I've met. You all just seem to be like so sex crazed. What is the problem? So he was like, well, if we get into a relationship and we become betrothed, it's okay. And I can't really remember the scriptures that he referenced, but at some point, you know, and I was impressed with so much of the word, you know, that he knew, I believed him. And so, you know, we continued in this relationship, and I just began to feel so heavy for multiple reasons. And I realized later down the line he was implementing a doctrine that I do not accept and believe in, which is he doesn't recognize Yahawashah is being our redeemer. So we started having like all of these issues. He talked about us blending our families together and, you know, getting married and all of these different things. And then things just got really, really ugly very, very quickly. And just to make a long story short, you know, I literally became afflicted with a disease. And I started to break out in boils. I went to my OBGYN. They ran every kind of test imaginable, sexually transmitted, E. coli. They put me on Cipro, which is for people who have come in contact with biodegradable and chemical warfare, people that have been in the military. When they come out and they've been subject to Agent Orange, They put them on Cipro. They put me on all these different antibiotics. That didn't work. Still broke out open with these boils. Could barely walk, almost fell out at work. I was referred to an infectious disease doctor. They cut me down there, took all these different biopsies, different places. Literally for 3 months, I suffered. I suffered because I believed a lie. I suffered because I connected myself with one of these nasty, and I'm talking about everybody, but one of these nasty Hebrew men kicking out some false doctrine. Now, that was my punishment because of I compromised what I knew. I didn't listen to my knower. And it's not just me. It's a lot of women. We believe a lie. And so we end up broken. We end up wounded. We end up coming down, some people with a sexually transmitted diseases or some type of affliction. But I had to realize that I set myself up for a curse. I, after the infectious disease doctor told me what I had was not infectious, he said to me,
I'm not exactly sure, but this was really the ruach. He said, I'm not exactly sure what you have, but whatever it is, it's coming from the inside out. Now, that spoke to me, that spoke to my spirit man, and that's when I said, this is spiritual. He didn't understand what he said to me, but I understood it. So I went to one more doctor. They referred me to a rheumatologist, and I went to him. But by that time, Sister Kabah had told me about the frankincense and myrrh. So she told me to put these on my boils. And overnight, my boils sealed. But during the time I was walking around, the ruach told me that I was unclean. I had an issue of blood because these boils were open. They were seeping. They were bleeding on my body. I had one on my mouth. I thought it was a little acne bump because sometimes I'll have a breakout. I tried to burst it. The whole side of my face collapsed. I couldn't even go to work the next day. This was an affliction due to sin. So I began to use.
No, I just want to ask you a question because I think that it's important because, see, these ladies got something to talk about, and that's why we got these men online today to listen because I came out of the church and I came out of the street, and when I listen to some of these stories that these girls are telling me about these brothers and they out there talking these women into the bedroom and we got to sleep together first and we married and all this, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, hold up. When did you get that first before you made a commitment? And then it's like we're not from this nation, and we don't.
Right,
that's
the game that was kicked to me. That my thought, I was told I had a Gentile mentality because I wanted to be married. I had a Gentile mentality, and that I needed to come in and I needed to renew my mind. You know, focus on the laws of our people and our nation. Yeah, that's what was kicked to me, and then I broke out with this affliction.
Wait a minute, and to me that's game because when I read the story and I go into the book, when I really go into the book, because we're not talking about women that are not learned and women that don't know the word, but when I go into the book and I read the book and I read the story of Joseph. And Joseph was taken into captivity into Egypt, and how he went from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison to being the second man in command in Egypt next to Pharaoh. When Joseph married Pharaoh's daughter, Joseph had an Egyptian wedding. Joseph didn't go up to Egypt talking about, well, we're going to do this where we from. He didn't go up in there talking about this is our nation and this is how we do things because while we're in captivity, it seems to me like there's no honor. You know, my problem that I have, and I don't know whose mic that is, but somebody is really, really loud, so I'm going to put everybody on hold until we finish. But the problem that I have with the whole situation is this. There's brothers that believe in having multiple wives, and all of that, I'm not for all that. I'm going to just let you know up front. I know there are beliefs where you can, they believe you can, or whatever. I'm not for all that. But I believe that if you're going to be committed and true, you know what I mean? I don't believe that all games and stuff have to stop because the women's responsibility is, with what's going on out here now in society, you better take these brothers to the clinic. I mean, seriously, before you marry them, before you do anything with them, you need to take them to the clinic because on the real side of this thing, you can talk all day long. And I'm really appalled that the women believe in the pillow talk. It's like, when did the pillow talk become real? And then now you find yourself in a situation where you hurt. You know, he's stolen your virtue. He's gone off somewhere else. And then how many times can you get married like that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to open that up. Sister Dee Dee has shared her story with everybody, and I'm going to give the brothers a chance to say something and be on the line and be able to say something about what she just said and comment on it because we're not saying that it's everybody. Don't get me wrong because I know it's some good brothers. We just don't we know we have some good brothers online, but, you know, the way it's looking, they giving y'all a bad name, and I'm just going to be honest with you because when I look at it from where I sit, that ain't going to work. That's not going to work because, you know what, you got women over in the church that's honorable that have that are waiting for somebody to come into their life. You got women that are Hebrew Israelite women that are honorable, that's waiting for some man honorable to come into their life. And it just seems like it's a setup, because now, you know, you can tweak the game a little bit and put a little scripture in there with it, and now all of a sudden the women are vulnerable because they believe in the lie. So I'm just going to open the lines up. Brother Nasi Kamul and Brother Abraham, your lines are open. And anyone else that has a comment that wants to say something, please push one.
Well, this is Brother Abraham, and let me say this first and foremost. This is not a blame game, right? I don't want to get into defending Hebrew Israelite men or throwing them under the bus, but let's keep it real. There is nowhere in Scripture that says that every marriage should have a contract. If a woman falls for the okey-doke of some brother saying because he's a Hebrew Israelite that he doesn't have to have a marriage contract, then he doesn't know Scripture. So, you know, and again, it's not a blame thing, but you can't be falling for some of the stuff that I'm hearing on the line. I mean, in the communities that I'm involved with, you know, it's nobody doing what I'm hearing on this line. Now, I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just saying is that, you know, we can't be gullible and fall for some of the things that I'm hearing. So you're telling me the Hebrew Israelite men are walking around telling a woman, okay, if I just lay with you, then we're married. And women are believing that?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
But come on, my sisters, you read the scripture. Where in the scripture have you seen anywhere where any Hebrew Israelite man hasn't brought a dowry to, you know, for that woman, entered into a contract? I mean, there's all kinds of things. Now, I mean, we don't have to get totally traditional. Where are we getting this? If I just lay with you, you my Isha. Where are they? What scripture are they referencing that would have a woman believe that? Somebody help me out.
They got plenty that they use, I'm telling you.
I'm asking the ladies for help. What's being said is that this is it's like an epidemic that's just getting hurt now. I mean, a real Hebrew Israelite man is supposed to be a priest, a protector, and a provider. Even to those women that he is not betrothed to, we should not be hurting the daughters of Zion. We should be protecting the daughters of Zion. So, and I'm not saying that everybody does things right, but you got scoundrels in the church. I mean, you got brothers that got all kinds of game in the church. So, I mean, don't come out of the church and then say you're coming into this new awakening of a lifestyle, because, you know, you got to remember, this is not a religion. This is a culture. It's a way of life. And it sounds to me like brothers are bringing game right out of the church and into this as a way of taking advantage of women. And I know for the Israelite men that I'm affiliated with, that is not how we're rolling. You know, we're building a nation and we're teaching, you know, honor above all things. Because that's what our culture, if we're reading the same Torah, that is what we see from Daniel, that's what we see from Yosef, that's what we see from Abraham. We see honor, and that's what we're supposed to bring to protect our women. I mean, the culture is based on honor, not on disgrace and dishonor. So now, sisters, just unfortunately, if that's what's happening to sisters out there, I mean, I can't apologize for other men, but I would say if it sounds too good to be true or if it sounds too crazy to be true, then don't buy it. They're selling you a bill of goods, and you are obviously intelligent, well-educated women. Read scripture for yourself. And if the man is shooting you a line that you just know doesn't make sense, don't buy it. But women, obviously, there are other issues that are not being addressed that I think we need to delve into, because I do hear women packing up and moving
because they meet somebody on Facebook that they don't know anything about, pack up their children and move to another area to be with a man and find out that he's got another wife and tucking you away and not telling, they're not operating in honor. You should have figured all that out before you pack up your stuff and move. But then you get there and you stay in that situation. It's something that I think we need to just address deeper issues. It's not just the men's fault. It's not just the women's fault. We all have to take responsibility for this situation. So don't buy the hype. Don't buy the guy just telling you, hey, you know, if we sleep together, we're betrothed. That's not scripture. And if it is, somebody needs to show me because I haven't seen it.
Good, very good, very, very good. We got somebody else on the line. We got area code.
Right quick, before we go, my Isha has been listening, and she wants to say something real quick. Is that
absolutely,
acceptable?
Absolutely.
Right, shalom, family. This is Hava Sarah, and I'm Abraham's Isha. I am almost sickened to hear that this is what is happening. I'm appalled almost that men are out here doing this because, in my eyes, and I am a ghetto girl from South Central LA, so I come from the streets, so I don't even want anybody to even think. I'm going to be holier than thou, quote scripture. I don't do that. I am straight up. When I counsel, I come straight from the hood. So I wanted to say that nothing's changed in the world because our minds have not been opened up. And nothing's changed in our families and in our men and in our women because our minds are not open to God. We say a lot of stuff. We say a lot of things. But if your relationship with Yah is not tight, you will not ever experience a real relationship with one significant other. Man, woman, whatever. And the reason why I say that is because this is what I show that we have six, and they're all adults. Our youngest one is 21. If I even thought that some Hebrew man had stepped to my daughter with that line, he would probably never hear the end of that, because I almost have men here that say things, and as soon as I open my mouth, it's a whole other conversation. And they're not even Hebrew. So what I want everybody to think about is you have to operate yourself in honor. You can't fix anybody. You can't pray for Yah to send you the right one. You only work on you. Work on you and concentrate on you and concentrate on Yah. That's all you need to think about. Because here's what I tell my daughters. You be the wife for the husband that you want. And until that time, Yah is your husband. You cook for him. You clean for him. You bear your children for him. Everything you do is for him. He's going to send you the right one. You don't have to ask for nothing. He will provide. I say the same thing to my son. Now, my sons are Hebrew men, and they think they can womanize. They are not allowed to bring a woman to my home. I don't want to meet anyone you're dating. When you bring them here, might be old-fashioned. Now, remember, I'm a girl from the hood, but this is from Yah. When they come see me, that's because they're the one, not the one you're sleeping with, not the one you're talking to, not the baby mom. I want to know the one, and then I can say, yes, I believe that's the right one. Because until they have came and I know that they are ready to be a wife, and I know they are ready to be a mother, because that is a 24/7 full-time commitment. I don't care what job you got, what degrees you have, how much money you make. That is your job. That's your only job. Everything else is to eat and sleep and put roof over the head. That's just extracurricular, you know, what do you call it, hobbies. Because I got to go to my job and sit at a desk. That's my hobby. But my job is in this home to be a wife and a mother. And all my children are adults. They don't get to come in and say nothing in front of me, talk to me about what they do in the streets, unless they're coming counseling, because I will never be your friend. I'll always be your mother, and they know that. I'm always a wife to my husband. There's times, you know, hey, I say stuff, because remember, I'm from the hood now. I'll go there. And he has to check me and say, okay, you need to stop and listen. he hears from Yah, who then he gives instructions to me. He sets the tone, and I make the environment. If the tone that he, if he hears from Yah and instructions that he gives from Yah, and he gives me an environment of chaos, my house would be chaos. But if he hears from Yah, gets the instruction, he gives me the information, and I and sets the tone, and I come in, and the tone is of peace and shalom, then our house will be of shalom. My house is of shalom. Don't, things don't happen, always do. So every day, that's your confirmation. Write it on a post-it, put it on your mirror, look at it every day. I am the wife of Yah. I'm the wife of Yah first. I don't care if you're single, if you're married, looking for a husband, one, wishing, what, put it on your mirror, on a post-it. I am the wife of Yah first. And every time you make that meal, make it for Yah. Every time you go and put that dress on, put it on for Yah. Look in the mirror and say, this is for Yah. I don't care what man it is. Does it matter now? Does it really matter? That's how we have to operate. You only can work on one person. I don't care how many you have, grandchildren, legacies. You only can work on one person, and that's yourself. I just want to tell you guys, I'm happy to hear you guys are help speaking about it. I hear a lot of venting, and I know, I've been there. But I'm going to tell you this. I've been married. This is my third marriage, and I've never, even when I was in the world, had a man be able to come up to me and tell me, we're going to be sleeping together before we get married. No, we won't. And that's why I've been married 3 times. Because I know who I am. When I met my Isha, he told me then, we were friends for 2 years before we even started dating. We were friends for 2 years before we ever dated. And when we began dating, he said, this is just too easy for me. I feel like I'm married. You know what I said to him? I apologize if this is too heavy for you, because this is all I know how to be, is a mother and a wife. And if you don't want that, you don't want me. You have to step in the role that you want to play, because that's the vibe and the vibrations that give off. If you wonder why you get losers, it's because you're walking like that. Change your mindset, and you can only change yourself. Fix you. Change your heart. Don't think about what comes out your mouth. Fix your heart. Fix your heart and fix it on Yah. You'll be fine. And things will happen and people will come and go in your life. Sometimes it's just for experience. Whatever happened to that young lady, I feel for her. But that was an experience that Yah gives you. Everything's a lesson. Not to hurt you, so that you can see that's not what I want for you. I want you to concentrate on me, and then I'm going to give you what I have for you. And I'm not saying nobody does. And I'm not picking, and I'm not saying my life is perfect, but I know that if you focus on him first and be his wife first, it don't matter what man to your life, you'll be fine.
Hallelujah.
All right, Brother Abraham, we got a 312. I'm going to let them talk. Erico, 312, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, praise the mighty God. Thank you, Sister Aida, for letting me talk. This is Brother Moshe from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
And I'm in a bit late, but I have heard a couple of the callers, and I would like to discuss that for a minute. I won't be long-winded, I promise you. But I'm a bit puzzled and also slightly, just a little appalled by what I've been hearing with this marriage and divorce, and I'm on my first and second and third marriage and all of this stuff. My whole outlook on all of this is, beloved family of Israel that's all around the world that is listening, we have a bad habit of using the word divorce, using the word adultery, using the word fornication, and We don't know what those words mean. Adultery and fornication does not mean the same. And what is a divorce? And who authorized a divorce? We don't quite understand that. And then we have the habit of hearing, I hear a lot of brothers and sisters use the word, don't, you can't touch me unless we get married. But what is a marriage? Who authorized the marriage? Yah? Or that so-called piece of paper that you get from City Hall? See, when we start treading lines like that, City Hall says two men can get married. That's the laws of the land. But is it lawful in the eyes of the Almighty Yah? Of course not. But City Hall says you can do it. The land say two men, two women can get married. In fact, the land say two men can raise children. But we know it's contrary to Scripture. But there's a lot of people that I hear constantly says, you can't marry me unless you get the paper. And then our women have to stop looking for men. The Scripture says a woman shouldn't do that. A man seeks a wife and he finds a good thing. A woman shouldn't look for nothing. She should sit still and wait for the Almighty Yah to send her a husband, and don't think she should be known as preparing herself for him. But our women go out looking. That's backwards, and it has nothing to do with the Almighty. And all of this stuff, wait until we get married to have sex, who says that? And where is that written at? All of these heathenistic mentalities and thoughts that's going through our heads, that you can't touch me until we get married. Well, then, that, like the brother said, when he used the word betrothal, what does that mean? Does betrothal mean you can't touch your so-called wife if you and her made a covenant before the Almighty Yah? Because I don't have a piece of paper, does that mean I'm not committed to this sister? Me and her went before the Almighty Yah and made a covenant before Yah with a witness. We didn't go to the city hall and get a piece of paper. So who authorizes that? Who assures us that we're married in the eyes of the Almighty? The court system or Yah? We put too much in to what the heathen has taught us when we came over here as slaves. And we have adapted their ways, their culture, and their lifestyle. Yes, the piece of paper is an awful lot because we live in a heathen world when it comes to insurance and things of that nature. But for the brothers that don't have it, but they made a covenant before the Almighty Yah, that's just as powerful as letting the heathen tell you you're married. So in saying that, please be careful on the words that you throw out there with adultery, fornication, divorce, and what's bound, the true words, the boundaries of being married. A piece of paper does not make you marry, Israel. It doesn't. Making a covenant before the Almighty Yah with witnesses, that's a marriage. The paper means nothing. Two women and two men could get married. That don't mean they married. The Almighty Yah does not acknowledge no folly and foolishness like that. Heathens get married every day, just like black folks in the hood get married every day, and they get divorced in weeks' time. Does that make it right? But when you make a covenant before the Almighty Yah, you will be punished when you be disobedient to him for leaving your wife without just cause, or she leaving you without just cause. Then you are in danger of judgment from the Almighty Yah. And just meditate.
Okay, can I, brother, Moshe, can you tell me what just cause is? What is just cause? Because we got a whole, when you made that statement, the whole board lit up. So, I mean, we got calls from everywhere. I want to let everybody know I'm going to get you on. I know you got something to say, you know, and this is good because this has to be coming out. It's time for all of this to come out. We got almost 20 callers on the line. So just give us a moment, and I'm going to be right with you. But I need for him to clarify what's just cause for whatever is. Let me ask you a question, though, first. Do you believe that a man, because y'all know you're a Hebrew brother, do you believe that a man, that a covenant that you make with words between you, her, and a witness, which is the same setup except for the preacher in society, that you all are married in the eyes of God, or do you believe that if you sleep with her first, you marry? So the first question is, what is the conditions to that they would mess up that you would that's legal for you to leave? And then do you believe that if you sleep with them, you marry?
What a great question. In fact, that's an awesome question, and I'm glad you asked. Number one, any woman that is married to anyone, I won't use the word Hebrew Israelite because that's just a nationality of people, but I'll say any woman that is married to a man or a man that is married to a woman, grounds of divorce, first and foremost, if I think in my soul that she's trying to cause me to turn away from the Almighty Yah, I'm cutting off. She's done. She's not going to attempt to influence me to denounce my Elohim. I won't allow her to do it. In fact, I'll get her out of my midst. The other thing is natural, with sleeping with another man and committing whoredom and things of that nature. If she does all that, then I'm cutting her off regardless. But spiritually, if she's trying to cause me to denounce my Elohim and follow after another deity, I'm cutting her off. I won't even entertain her after that. But all that other little stuff, she don't cook well, she didn't kiss me right, she ain't had sex with me last night, all of that's folly. All of that's folly. You knew all that when you met her anyway. But what defines marriage? If a man lays with a woman, then he's married. I quite don't see it that way anymore, although I used to. Because you have to set up a covenant before the Almighty Yah to make it official. If that man isn't making a covenant with you before the Almighty Yah, then of course not. You should entertain him in that way. That don't mean don't be with him and all that. But if you're going to give him your body, that is something you and him should discuss and make it official before the Almighty Yah. Talk about it. Do you want to be with me? Do you want to marry me? What's your intent with me? How far do you want this to go? What do you see me as? Ask all those questions. Now, if he's lying to you, then Yah will deal with him. And if you trust Yah, he will deal with him. He will deal with him. But if you and him have that conversation, then I don't see why not if you want to become one with this brother. And I don't need no one to give me a piece of paper for me to lay down with my future wife. I don't need that. And I'm not going to let nobody tell me I need that. And any man that lets somebody tell him, go to City Hall and get that piece of paper, man, before you lay with it, you are a fool. You are a fool. But if you sit down and talk to your wife, and you have your future wife that you patrol to, and y'all discuss what are your intentions with each other, your intent is to be with each other and marry one another and all that, where does this come from, wait till we get married before we have sex?
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to put you on mute because I'm going to get ready to get somebody on the line right now. I'm going to put you back on mute, and I'm going to get 5-3 on the line.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Before you mute him, I'd like to ask the question just because I want to get clarity as well.
Okay.
Because, and the reason I want clarity is because there's a lot of women on this line that say that men are running game and, you know, basically leaving these women after having intercourse with them, and I guess they could just tell them anything. So my question is, I'm not saying you need to go down to City Hall, but you need a marriage covenant contract. So, my brother, are you contracting? I got nothing to do with a marriage license. I'm saying, is it being put on paper what your intentions are, and that these particular covenant promises or whatever are committed to in writing? Or you just saying, hey, we have a conversation, we all agree, we all grown, let's get it on. Oh, I don't like you no more, I'm gone. I need to understand that.
I'm glad you asked, beloved. That's a great question. If he's a Yah-fearing man and he fears the Most High, truly fears the Most High, and he make a covenant before the Almighty Yah, he knows if he breaks that covenant, Yah don't lie. He will be punished. He knows that. So he would be fearful to separate himself with that woman without just cause. He would know better. Now, some men say they're Yah-fearing, but they really don't understand Scripture to that point. You don't play with Yah. When you make a covenant before Yah, he does not lie. You will be punished, and it may be with your life. And that sister should know that. A Yah-fearing man would tell her that. This is for real with me, sister. I fear Yah. I'm not laying with you just for your body. I don't want you just for your body. If that's what you think it is, then don't do it. Because I fear the Most High. And I fear dying. Because Yah will kill me if I break this covenant with him, unless he has mercy on me. That's what I'm trying to say, beloved.
All right. Well, I don't want to have a debate on this. I'll just say this. It leaves our sisters at a terrible vulnerability and at terrible risk. And I just pray the Most High protect our sisters, because it back in the day of Abraham, that's not how it went down. It didn't go down that way. Because even Abraham wouldn't allow someone to give him a plot of land without a contract. Everything that was done, it was done decently and in order, and there were written contracts involved.
I agree with that, brother.
Okay, but because we don't have a formal structured community and nation, and everybody's kind of doing their own thing, we've left our women vulnerable, and as a Hebrew Israelite man, a Moore or Kohen or whatever people call themselves, we got to start protecting our women and holding each other accountable. And it does require some kind of formal paperwork, and we need to work on that as a nation. If it doesn't exist now, it doesn't exist. But it doesn't mean that we can't put it in place for the protection of the daughters of Zion. Now, Mr. Mike.
All right, I'm gonna put you on hold. I'm gonna get area code 513. Go ahead, you're on the air. You've been holding for a minute, and then I'm gonna get 404, and then I'm gonna go back and go down the line. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Well, my question to the brother is, okay, just a scenario. Okay, so you two go into a contract, and you go into a contract of having a marriage. However, you die. Then what? I mean, you working every day, you paying your taxes, you doing all these things. However, you die. Then, and you just got a contract and not a marriage, official marriage license. Then don't that kind of put the sister in a vulnerable state legally?
Absolutely.
That's my question.
Okay, I'll put the brother on the line. Go ahead, Brother Abraham, you going to say something, and then I'm going to open up the line to area code 312 because they want to respond. So, Brother Abraham, you first, and then we go back to 312. The lines are open.
All right. We have to understand that everything in this world is based on contracts. I mean, everything, even that marriage license you're talking about, is nothing but a contract between the state and two individuals. Now, if you make a contract to go buy a car, or you go make a contract to go buy some furniture, or whatever the case may be, that contract's between you and the furniture company. So what I'm saying is that we have to have contract. We have to have something in writing between that man and that woman. And if someone dies, that's all the will is. That's all, you know. There's a process in place that assets can be transferred, things can be official, and a marriage license from the state is not required, is not mandatory. But I think that woman would have more protection with a contract in place than she would with just a verbal contract. You can take someone to court for that, but it becomes hearsay. But if you have a written contract, then it's not hearsay anymore. It's a written contract. Here's what the terms of the marriage is,
and even in other states they call it common law marriage, but there's contracts involved. You're protected with a contract. If you slide a contract in front of that brother, I mean, if you decide you want to sleep with him before you're betrothed and all that, that's a personal decision. I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying if you slide a contract in front of a brother, or if I slide a contract in front of a sister and say, hey, this is how we're going to proceed, you have way more protection than if it's just a verbal promise. That was what I'm saying. And we need to have that in Israel. I ain't thinking about the state. Okay. Matter of fact, we're moving as far away from the state as we can because that's nothing but bondage. Whether it be one of the 50 or the federal, it doesn't make any difference to me. Between us, between Hebrew Israelites, we need to start operating with contracts so that it's no question what's been agreed to. That's for your protection, not for your demise.
All right. Hold on. I'm gonna get one. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay, so I understand what you're saying. However, a marriage contract that's between two individuals is not, by under the law, recognized by the state. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. However, if you go into a contract between a woman and a man in a marriage, if something happens and you go to court or something like that, you know, it's not recognized by the state. And as far as access, and if you have access, that even is even more problematic.
This is a very key issue. I want to understand what you're saying. You're saying that you have more protection with nothing than you would with a written contract. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is I understand a contract. You're saying there's two contracts that you're talking about. You're talking about the contract between a man and a woman, and you're talking about the contract that's with a particular state, meaning a marriage license by the state. Okay, marriage license by the state says that if something happens, then that the assets go to the wife, and she's protected under the law so that other people can't come after those assets. However, you also said that there's one contract that's made between a man and a woman, just between them, and that it should be recognized by the state. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm taking the state out of the equation altogether, okay? Because Here's the big problem that we have. We're caught between two worlds. That's why you got so many people running around out here saying, oh, my name is, you know, whatever, Israel, but every day you're operating in Sally Sue. And you got your driver's license, and you live in this commercial world, but in the evening when you get on that room, whatever, then you become a Hebrew Israelite. And we have to get away from that. And I know that that's a tough thing, but we gotta be in one world or the other. You know, we have to, and it's a process, but we have to come out of her. He says, come out of her, my people, if you want to go with the new book, or if you want to go, you know, with Torah. The bottom line is we can't be in two worlds. We have to serve and worship the Most High Yah and start to move our families and move our relationships and move our day-to-day activities towards our own nation. And it starts with the family. The family is the core of the community. The communities come together and form the nation. But if the family structure is weak, if the family structure doesn't have any solid, stable foundation, then everything else we're trying to build will be crumbling and falling apart, and that's what we're dealing with. We don't have a solid structure. So all I'm saying is if you want to start with a solid structure, start with something that got substance. a man and a woman having a conversation, and I'm only addressing this from the standpoint that all of these women got on the line and said these men are running game.
They are.
If you put a contract in front of that brother, or you guys decide together that you're going to have a contract, those contracts are binding. You don't have to say, I mean, if you're going to have the contract and then you're going to go to and say, well, I don't think this contract is valid because we don't have a marriage license, you're playing on both sides of the fence. The contract is valid because it's between two consenting parties, right? If you bring a third-party arbitrator in, at, i.e. the state, you now have given them jurisdiction in a matter that they did not have jurisdiction in before you brought them in. So you can, there's ways to approach this from a totally legal standpoint and have a third-party arbitrator. I mean, there's all kinds of ways we can do it. I'm not saying that the system is perfect right now. I'm saying that if we come together and we put our heads together and say, we have to protect the daughters of Zion. We have to protect even the brothers as well. We all want to have solid families, and these women are not getting taken advantage of, for lack of a better word. We have to put a system in place because we're talking about solutions. We have to put a system in place, and anything in writing is better than an oral contract or, you know, a verbal agreement. That is what I'm saying. So I don't want to get it confused with how you litigate the matter or how you adjudicate the matter. I don't want to – I mean, that's taking it farther than I think that we really can have a real intelligent discussion on. I'm just saying in the beginning, if we started moving towards written contracts, it would give us more of a structure. And then we can work out litigation and adjudication, you know, as we go down the path. So,
okay,
you know, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. You know what? We're going to move on because I got a lot of people on hold. We'll come back to this issue in a minute. I'm getting ready to get area code 404 on, and then I'm going to get area code 646 on. Area code 646, you're already open. Your mic is open. 404, you want to introduce yourself and tell everyone where you're calling from?
Shalom. This is Adoniah Ben Yehuda, Ben Yisrael. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd like to weigh in on that conversation that has been struck. What I'm understanding here now is, see, these are the problems that we are faced with if we want to stay here and become a part of this nation. There's always going to be some little stuff that they come up with that's going to keep us back. I think I agree with Abraham totally that we need to establish independent nation so that we can iron out our own differences. We have a problem with the marriages, we got problems with our children, but until we come together as a nation, as an independent nation, and that we're going to adhere to the laws of the Almighty, and we come to that consensus, then we can work on all of these problems. Right now, you understand, it's good that we're having these conversations because it opens up some dialogue. But we got to come together as a nation. Now, we cannot come together under doctrine per se because we have a lot of different versions of along the spiritual line, and so that's going to keep us apart. What we need to do is come together on building and the restoration of the Almighty's people. If we can just do that, the Almighty will open up our minds to see other ways that we can restore our existence. Right now, if we're going to talk about how this United States and the United or whatever You understand? We are different people. We're not under those particular laws and statutes. But if we're talking about staying here, then we're going to have to get under those particular understandings because this is theirs. And I relinquish the mic.
All right. I'll put you back on hold. And then I want to say something to it all because I have to be the person in the middle. And with all of the marriage license and stuff like that, I feel like this. As far as we do need to come together as a nation, we do need to bring ourselves together as a nation and iron out our differences, and we do need all those things. But the truth of the matter is that we are in captivity, we are in their land, and as for me, the verbal contract, you know, the written contract is a little bit better than the verbal contract, and it would give you a little bit more leg to stand on. But I just feel like while we're in this captivity, until there is another solution that we can go to and make the brothers and the sisters accountable, because something has to make you accountable. Everybody don't fear y'all. Everybody's not right. interested in the fear and what's going to happen to them and all of that kind of stuff. A lot of people do mm-hmm. things just because it feels good and it's good for them at the moment. So something has to be in place to give you some accountability, you know, to make you know. I'm responsible for this person because I know as far as marriage is concerned, the contract of marriage in some states means that, you know, whatever's yours is mine or whatever's mine is yours, and it gives the parties a sense of responsibility and a sense of ownership. I'm not going to never tell my daughter that just because a brother fears Yah and because he's scared of dying to go ahead and marry him on something that he writes, that he says out of his mouth, or anything of that nature, because I have always believed this, that you are only as responsible as you are for yourself. So I wouldn't trust none of that right now, because to me, we are just now coming into the knowledge of who we are. We're getting some insight on what we're supposed to do as a people. But the honor level is just not where it needs to be. Now, if we was in our own land, hey, we do it the way we do it. But there are things in place to protect the male and the female in the marriage institution. Now, if the United Nations of Israel creates a system and we're able to honor that system while we're still here and we can implement our own laws and carry out our own punishment, if you don't do this, then, yeah, I'm all for it. But right now, the way these brothers is doing this, they spitting game, and it's all it is. It's just game under a whole nother name. And the same for the women. And my advice to the women is keep your legs closed. If he don't think enough of you to do what he needs to do, then keep your, because you can't come tell me nothing about you if you fear God. And for me, that's not going to happen. I just don't see it. So I'm going to open up the mic to area code 646. If you have something you have to say, I'm asking you guys, we have 27 minutes left, so please, can you keep your comments down to 30 seconds, 35 seconds, because we long-winded. So go ahead, area code 646, you're on the air. Hello? We'll have to come back to him. Anybody there? Hello? Okay, we're going to put him on hold. Let's see, we're going to go back to area code. Let's see, somebody just clicked on. Let's go back to area code 312. Area code 312, you're on the air. Hello? Are you there? Hello?
Sister Yaina.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make a quick comment. Made a good point when you talked about how the marriage license being a point of accountability. And I think people have to remember that the Most High put us in this captivity. And part of being in this captivity or part of why we're in this captivity because of the behaviors and the transgressions of our forefathers. There were things in the scriptures that our forefathers did that completely transgressed against the law when it came to even marriage, marrying strange women of other nations. That was completely against the law for them to do that. And most of us don't understand that even that within itself
is part of the transgression of us even being in this captivity as well. So here we are in a captivity where we have these taskmasters over us, and they have all these laws that are implemented and put in place to keep us in bondage. And one of the things that is a requirement being in this captivity is having a marriage license through the state. Now, the marriage license is set up, I believe, not so much because of the state, but so much because of if a person, if that piece of paper is in place, because some people will look at a handwritten contract that they wrote down and the commitment that they say that they've made, and they still would dishonor that. But a marriage contract that is set up through a state, a piece of paper, a license, or whatever, it'll kind of make that person, the two parties, kind of think and maybe be a little bit more hesitant when it comes to the issue of, do I want to get rid of this person or do I want to stay in this marriage? It actually kind of makes that person kind of have a second thought, and it makes that process of putting away or the divorce process a little slower. If this person is thinking about this, they're going to look at that marriage license, they're going to say, wait a minute, if I get rid of her, it's going to cost me more to put her away because I'm going to have to pay alimony, I'm going to have lawyer fees, I'm going to have all this stuff in place that is going to drain me than if I just sit down and try to work out the situation. So what I'm saying, I'm not saying that it's stopping the divorce rate or anything. I'm just saying it's in place, and it actually causes a person to be a little more hesitant and to look at that divorce, separation or being divorced a little bit differently. You kind of, well, let me just work out this process. It may take us a longer time, you know, even if we get to the point of divorce, but the fact of the matter is, they're going to look at that paper and be more hesitant to say, well, wait a minute, I need to think about this before I go ahead and make this decision, a rash decision. So that's what I wanted to say on that.
Okay, and I wanted to tell everyone we have exactly 22 minutes left. I wanted to hear from Brother Nasi Kamul. I know he's online, so area code 646, your mic is open. If you're there, if he's not, I'll open up. Is there anyone else that has a comment? I'm going to go down the line. Let's see. We got 652-404. Let's go to 652. Area code 652-426, you're open. Shalom. Hello? 565 is your first three numbers. 565, you're on the air. Oh, you're on the air. Hello? Let me see. Let's do this again. Let's try it again. Okay, you're on the air. 565, go ahead. Area code 6524, and the first three numbers is 426. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can. Go ahead.
Okay. I got married, well, it's been quite a long time ago, but I got married in a temple in Brooklyn. And when I got married, I had a certificate from America, and I also had a ketubah. That's what they call a marriage certificate. The ketubah was the agreement between me and him and the Most High, or the Most High and him and me. And the certificate was for America. Let's fast forward 20 years. Me and him broke up. He died. But we never got divorced. The VA get in touch with me, and they tell me to please come down to their office. I go down to their office, and he had another daughter outside the marriage. And they sit there, and they tell me that they applying for his VA benefits, and because I'm his wife, I don't have to let them have it. And they have no DA. They have no DNA, so they can, you know, very easily refuse to give them DNA, and I don't have to give this kid nothing. She's 6 years old. I told them to give her the money. Had I not been married to him, my kids wouldn't have been covered, nor would she have been. So we live in America. So there's rules that we go by that we don't want to go by. Why wouldn't we go by a rule that would protect somebody that we love according to their standards? That's
beautiful
what I'm saying. As far as these women that's buying into this, look, brothers have been laying games forever. Forever. You got to decide for yourself that when you stand in front of the Most High, he don't want to hear nothing about what the brother told you to do. He want to know what you did. You are responsible for your own soul. And we have to remember that. I mean, I don't care what you think about this brother. What he's telling you don't sit well in your soul. You need to take it to the Most High and not jump into these situations. Because brothers lie. They want sex. I mean, that's just how it is. And they'll say what they got to say. But we got to take some responsibility for ourselves.
That's right.
That's all I have to say.
Shalom. That's right.
I think that's beautiful. And Kavai, you know what's so beautiful about what she said is this. Like we said, we're a nation within a nation. We have dual nationality within both nations. But the fact of the matter is, as long as we're still here, and as long as we have to operate under their system, they have certain rules and regulations in place. And until we become self-sufficient, you won't even be able to maneuver through. She would have never got any of his benefits or anything for her children or anything. So sometimes it's best to have both.
That's right.
Because I know I would
That's
have
right.
both. I mean, I'm just saying for me, until we get back to Jerusalem, I'm going to have both because I'm going to make sure
right.
that I'm covered and my children are covered.
That's true. That is absolutely right. That was beautiful.
That was a beautiful scenario because we got to think about the scenarios and the things that could happen.
That's true.
I'm going to open up the mic to area code 111 because I think that's Sister Sister Ariel, y'all, and she got cut off. So I want to hear her comment, and then we're going to go down the line since we have 18 minutes left, and we're going to let everybody give a comment. So everybody that's on the line, we have 19 callers on the line. We're going to let you say something for a brief few seconds, and then everybody will get a chance to talk. Sister Didi, are you still there? Hello? Maybe she's on hold. We're going to put her back on hold for a minute. Okay, let's see. We got 517 or 17-something, 280. We're going to put you on the air. Go ahead. You just push one.
Shalom.
Hello?
Shalom. Shalom, it's Brother Maccabi.
Hey, Shalom, Maccabi.
How you doing? Get a rundown of what the topic is, you know, so I, you know, stay on topic.
Oh, we're just talking about marriage. Go ahead, Sukhava.
Yes, we were just talking about marriage and different scenarios where the brothers are not being honorable to the sisters, laying with them without being committed to, you know, to the act or even committing before the Most High, making a covenant agreement with the sisters. We're talking about is it okay to get a marriage certificate in America? Some feel like it, you know, according to the state. Some feel like they shouldn't. Some feel like we should have an agreement, but it don't have to be with the state. Some feel like if you two make a covenant before the Most High, then you don't need no certificate. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that, Brother Maccabi?
Of course, if you go get a license, you know, you basically giving up your rights. So I think in that case, you got to refer back to the scriptures. You know, two or more agree, you got to be on the same page with that woman. You know, don't be a brother that's not down with the marriage license through the society, and then go get a woman that's comfortable with it and try to make her change her mind. You know, you should agree on it, and whatever you two agree on, that'll be the basis of that relationship, because the man is the head. So you know you got to be wise about the situation. You really will have to be dealing with, you know, as far as your spouse goes, y'all will have to agree on that. If y'all disagree on it, then what happens is you will make the other person look like they're not doing it properly, or they're going off, or they're doing it a certain way, not according to how everybody else should do it. But you all, the men, should be more of leaders. And if they're gonna, if that's on the brother's spirit, if he wants a wife, he should deal with a woman that agrees with that particular process, versus trying to force a woman that doesn't agree with it to change her mind. Well, you know, that's what I had to say about that.
Okay, we're going to move on. Let's go to area code 513, and then we're going to go to with everybody that's pushing the button. We're going to get you online real quick so you can have something to say. 652-426. Go ahead, you're on there. Hello, shalom, shalom. Okay, we're going to put them back on hold because we don't have that much time. Okay, we're going 513-344. You on the air?
I just want to say I've been enjoying the conversation today. I don't have another comment. I just wanted to ask, how often do you do this, the conference call, and does any of the moderators, you know, have any contact information or whatnot to where we can continue to build with each other? Shalom.
We're going to be here every Sunday from 3:30 to 5:30, and all of the brothers and sisters that are on the line, if you want us to send you some information about them, you can email us at nationofyehudah@yahoo.com. And there's a lot of things going on. We have the United Nation of Israel on the line, forming us as a nation. We have the Nation of Yehudah, and we're having some things that's going on this month and all through the rest of the year. So if you're interested in joining with us, we have a newsletter that we're sending out. So email us at nationofyehudah@yahoo.com, and Yehudah is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, and we will send you enough information where you can connect with everybody that's on this line. Okay, so I'm gonna put you back on hold. Okay, we go on to 513-652. You're on the air. Go ahead and give your quick comment.
Is this 513?
Yes, ma'am, 652, okay. 513-652, go ahead.
Well, I disagree with the sister that just spoke. I don't think there's nothing more to be said for me. So I agree with her. We need to have both. And
all right,
as far as a contract, in a marriage, we need to have both. And if a guy is not going to marry you, then just stay celibate.
All right. That's the words of a wise woman. I'm going to put you back on mute. Okay, we're going to area code 312-619. You're on the air. You got a few minutes. Go ahead. He may have walked away from the phone for a minute. Okay, we're going back down the line, and we are going to open up the mic to Brother Abraham, 757. If you want to make some comments and let people know who you are and what your website is and what you're doing for a few minutes, you got 1 minute. Hello, shalom, shalom. Are you there?
Shalom, shalom. I'm here. I had to find my unmute button. For the brother who was reaching out and wanted to get contact, another website we have is yahwillgather.us. YAHWILLGATATR.US. YahWillGather.us. It tells all about the United Nation of Israel. My contact phone number is on there as well. And I wanted to just agree with Sister Yaina and the other sister just spoke. We are promoting that you have both. You know, we're not telling people to just drop everything and just act like we have this established, but it's a process. And if you have both, I think it's honoring both Yah and honoring the laws of this land, because we're still here. So no one's asking anybody to be a lawbreaker. We're people of the law. But we can transition from one to the other. We have both until we have our stuff together, and then we drop the one, you know, drop this nation's paperwork and just keep our own.
but it's a process. So is any questions about any of the things that we're talking about in reference to governmental structure or how you can have dual nationality, go to yahwillgather.us and you get information there. Shalom.
All right, we're going to go to area code 404. We're going to let you say a few words and give some words of wisdom. Go ahead, area code 404.
Shalom, shalom, this is Adonia.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree with Abraham totally. Matter of us committing ourselves to doing something by building a nation, you know. So, and as far as those marital papers, yes, you need both. We still here. We need both of them. But we need a better understanding of the Israelite understanding. And I think that those things will be established as we go along, as we come along, restructuring the House of Israel. But I agree with most of what was said today, and I relinquish the mic.
All right, Sister Kava, I'm going to let you say a few words because we're rolling down on the time, so you have any comments you want to make?
No, I think I've said enough. You know, we got other people that want to say something. You want to give them time to say something, so go ahead and get the other lines. But I think this was a beautiful discussion. I love the fact that how we all came together and spoke on this subject, and it's much needed, and the testimonies and everything that we heard. I think we have all learned a lot that we will grow from.
Absolutely, and it's important to understand. It's important to understand the fact that we are in this country. We were brought here in this country, and we have to make sure that we maintain ourselves and keep ourselves in a status of honor. And the game hasn't changed. The players have. And for all of those brothers that are out there that's playing games and running game on these women, the show is designed to shine the light on darkness and expose the mess so that we can make sure that the women know that there is an outlet and people that are here to give them counsel. We have 7 minutes. I'm going to try again. Area code 312-619. You're on the air if you want to say a few last words. Anyone that wants to make a comment, you have to push number one, and then I can see the queue, and I'll get you online. If you have something you want to say, push number one, and I'll get you online. Okay, 312, are you there? You're online.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Yaina. I had stepped away for a minute, but the last person that was talking, I want to kind of respond to that just a little bit. A while ago when I stepped away, when the sister was talking about the contract issue, yes, I'm in full agreement with that, getting married with the license, there's benefits to it because we are in captivity. I'm for that, 100%. If you're married to a woman or you're married to a man and he's got excellent employment and excellent benefits, that's only wise with wisdom to marry him. So you can have access to all of that. I would never speak against that, ever. But when you're making a covenant before the Almighty God, that is more powerful than a piece of paper. And my last comment is, our sister told me that Alyssa Dan on the show, she said to me, Moshe, any man could tell a woman he fears the Most High. And what that mean? Them just words. Well, I also agree with that too. But when you're dating a man and you're paying close attention to him, say for a man that's date courting a woman, pay attention to her. See if what she's talking her reality. If you see he's never going to Shabbat class, he's never even mentioning the Most High. His conversations is never about the Most High. You're paying him attention. You're studying them real hard, and you see this man and interested in the Most High in no kind of way. Why are you entertaining him? Because you hot between the legs? Because now you're horny and you want to get laid? Is that what it really is? Or are you really seeking a righteous brother in your life? Same for a man. I don't care how fine a woman looks, how big her butt is, how wide her hips are. If she's not seeking the Almighty Yah and trying to learn and do what thus said Yah, she's a waste of your time. Beauty is vain, and it's going to fade away real soon. And I bear witness, I found out. That is the truth. It goes away. So if you're seeking after a woman or a man, make sure that they have a love for the Almighty Yah. If they do not, it's going to fail. You can only lie for so long. What's done in the dark going to come to light. And when the Most High bring it to the light, you get the hell out of there quick. You don't waste time. You don't let them try to figure it out. You run like hell. Shalom, shalom, sister.
All right, shalom, shalom. That was a beautiful comment. We've gone down the board now. Everybody has had something to say. And in closing, I would just like to say that this has been a wonderful show. Everyone's had an opportunity to reflect. Everyone's had an opportunity to give their comments. We're here every Sunday at 3:30 p.m. to make sure that you can voice your opinion. We've learned some things from the brethren. We'd like to thank Nasi Kamul. We'd like to thank Brother Abraham. And we'd like to thank Brother Adonai. How do you pronounce his name? Adonaiya. I'm going to get that right from Atlanta. We thank you all. We'd like to thank Brother Moshe from Chicago, Illinois, and the brother from Cincinnati, and all the sisters that called in, because this is what's going to heal us. And this is what's going to keep us, our foundation sure. And when they see our nation as a Hebrew Israelite, we're putting a whole new flavor to the thing. And they're saying, finally, we have some people that will listen. And finally, we have some people that want to talk back. So we want to say thank you to everybody for participating. Again, if you have anything you want to add to our nation, if you want information about what we're doing, email us at the Nation of Yehuda, YEHUDAH, at yahoo.com. We also have the State of the Nation address that we're doing in May. The website for that is www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress.com. We need you to register as soon as possible. We have some good turnouts coming out, and we're going to look forward to coming together as a nation, because we have to come together as a nation. And on that note, I'm going to say farewell to everyone, and we're going to say shalom, shalom,
shalom.
And we hope to see you again, and we're going to go back to our song, and we thank you for participating with us, and we say shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, everyone. See you next week.